wasting his shed blood.
Now, I want to talk to you about a particular thought that Job mentions in verses 1 through 9, and it's pretty obvious as you'll read these verses which way we're going and what the Lord has for us. Job chapter 23 and verse number 1, let's pick it up there. And church, let's go ahead and just read responsively, get our mind focused on the scriptures. I'll read a verse, you read a verse. Verse 1 says this, Job 23, it says, "Then Job answered and said," together, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. On the left hand, let's read verse 9 together, ready? On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Just, I think that you can see what Job is saying here in verses 1 through 9. Now he's answering one of his three friends from the previous chapter, but Job's response was this. He says, "I'm going through a time in my life that I can't find God." I mean, that's what he said. In fact, he said it very clearly in verse number 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." In verse number 8 and 9, he says, "I looked forward, I looked backward." In verse number 9, "I looked to the left, I looked to the right." He says, I can't see him. I don't know where God is during this time of Job's life. This is what Job's saying. He said, "I just don't know where God is. I pray, I don't get my prayers answered. I'm asking for you to take care of my sickness. I'm asking you to take care of my sorrow. I'm asking you to take care of Satan. I'm asking you to try to get this load off. And God's not answering." And we know from chapter number 1 and 2, and by the way, Job did not know chapter 1 and 2 like we know chapter 1 and 2, because we know what happened and why it was taking place in his life. Job had to practice faith, and of course he's known for patience in the book of James, cheerful endurance. He just kept going. He didn't quit. He said, I'm going to take this thing one step at a time until I get through it. And his boils, the Bible said, lasted months, plural. So that means this was not a day or a week. Months had gone by in his life. And you know, we're going to have times like that. And this time of this virus right now is just another reminder that if it's not the virus, it's going to be something else in your life. And there's going to be times in your life that you're looking for God, you're looking for answers, you're not going to get any. And Job was in that particular spot. And in verse number 1 through 9, I want to talk to you for just a few moments on that idea tonight, on why you cannot find him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Now again, would you bless it? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts tonight? God, thank you for what you did this morning. Thank you for letting us meet. Thank you for letting us be inside. And Father, would you again please help us tonight not to miss what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Job chapter 20. Now, church, I want you to look at a couple chapters back in preparation to the message tonight. Look at chapter 19. Jump back just a couple chapters. I want you to notice, again, getting the idea of what's going on in Job's life. In verse number 13, Job said this, "He hath put my brethren," I want you to notice these key words, "brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance," the word acquaintance, "are verily estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my word. My breath is strange to my wife." Some of you fellows can relate to that one. "My breath is strange to my wife." In other words, my speech is foreign to my wife. "Though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me." I don't know if you noticed in those six or seven verses there, all of the people that Job couldn't find. The Bible says he couldn't find his brethren, couldn't find his acquaintance, couldn't find his kinfolk, couldn't find his familiar friends, couldn't find his maids, his servants, the young children. He couldn't find his wife. All these people left him. He was all alone in life, and even without, if I can say, not without God, but without God. In other words, God's always there, but he did not know, he could not see God's hand in his life. We know for a fact that the Bible says we can never be without God. Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are where? In every place, beholding the evil and the good." Proverbs 5:21, "Man's goings are of the Lord." Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, he said, "I will never" what? "Leave thee nor forsake thee." So in other words, God, hey, is God with us all the time? Say amen. That means God's always with us. He's with us when we're on a mountain. He's with us when we're in the valley. All right. He's with us when we're in school. He's with us when we're out of school. All right. He's always with us. And so Job here is going through a time in his life. And he says, man, I'm all seemingly all alone. I look forward. I look backward. I look to the right, to the left. I can't find God. But Job knew God was there. The reason we know that, going back to chapter number 23 in verse number 10, as soon as he gets done saying, I can't find God, right, left, forward, backward, he says, but he knoweth. And church, let me think for a second here. What Job's trying to say is, I don't know where he is, but he knows where I am. That's exactly what he was saying. You know, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. He knew, God knew where he was. You know, this time of the virus, of course, I know the lost world looks at things differently, but and I don't listen to the news a lot, but I was listening to the news the other day just briefly. And I was amazed how the broadcast, as it was coming across, they were saying, you need hope. And there's hope. And the hope is in our community. And they were going through several things. This was Kansas City's news. They were going through several things of where a person could find hope. All right? And I want to tell you where hope is. Hope is in Christ. Amen. That's just what it is. I mean, we have no hope without Christ. You know, the lost world is looking for their fellow man to help them, or they're looking for a stimulus package to help them, or they're looking for their job to help them. I want to tell you what helps us. God helps us. God's the one that's going to help us get through this and everything else in life. And so here Job, he says, yes, okay, I don't know where God is, but I know he knows where I am. But yet in his life, can you imagine Job as he says, man, I just wish I could come before him. I just wish I could talk to him. I just wish I could hear him speak to me. Now, we're New Testament Christianity, not Old Testament. Old Testament looked to Jesus to come. We're New Testament. We know Jesus did come. And Jesus said that when he was on this earth, he says, when I ascend up to the Father, I will not leave you comfortless. And what he meant by that is he would give us the Holy Spirit of God to be with us continually. We know that from 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. We know that from John 14, verse number 17. John 14:17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall, now he said shall be because he was still here, but he said, and shall be in you. We have a Holy Spirit that dwells within us, which makes it so that we are never alone and without the Lord Jesus or without Christ or without God. But there are times in our life, I feel like that we ask like Job did, where is he? How come he's not listening to me? How come he's not answering my prayer? Now, church, I want to do just a quick study with you tonight, and I want you to think about what the Bible says, because I want to tell you there are reasons when you can't find him. My kids would often come to me when they were really small, and they would say, hey, Dad, can we play hide and go seek? And I would say, sure, you go hide. And then I wouldn't go find him. You know, God's not like that, though. God's not hiding from us in the sense that, you know, we're going to have to look for him and, you know, he's trying not to be found. God wants to be found. God wants to be with you, all right? Now, I want you to turn to these with me tonight, if you don't mind. Turn over to Proverbs 8. I want you to look at the first one with me, Proverbs 8. Why we can't find him? Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 8. Look at verse number 17. Proverbs 8, verse number 17. You might know this verse by heart. Proverbs 8, verse number 17 says this. Now, this is wisdom speaking, which is in chapter 8, it's Jesus. It's God personified in wisdom. In verse 17, he says, I love them that love me. What's the rest of the verse say? Now, just let me think about that. He didn't say maybe, hope so, or think so. He said, and those that seek me early, say it again, shall find me. That's in other words, it's the promise of God. Hey, there are reasons he can't be found. And I want to tell you the number one reason that God's not found is because you're not looking. You know, God says very, very in straight terms, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And I want to again stress this idea of early. Early gives us the thought of first, foremost. In other words, it's early. That's what I'm going to do. Actually, the word early in that passage there means dawn. Now, let me define what the word dawn means. It's not a girl's name. Okay, it's when this bright yellow thing starts to rise in the morning, and it starts to make the darkness go away. It's called the sun rising. Now, some of you don't know what that means. Sun rising means it comes up. Most of you think that when you get up in the morning, the sun's already straight over top, but that's not how it works, okay? It rises, all right? Hey, you know what God's saying? God says, I love them that seek me early. Those that seek me at dawn, those that seek me in the morning is what he's talking about. I know some of you think to yourself, and again, you know, if you're having your devotions, keep having it. I'm not trying to discourage it. But I want to tell you, you know as well as I do, when you get to the end of the day, your day's done. And not everybody's like that because there's several of you that are night owls. But you know, listen, you need to start your day with God. And if you want to end your day with God, do it. In fact, Joshua said the same thing. I will meditate upon his word day and night. But I want to tell you something. You need to start your day with God. Those that seek me early shall find me. And it's not just early in life. It's talking about early in the day. That's why it's important for you to get up and read your Bible first thing before you talk to another. Talk to him. Let him speak to you. So how come he can't be found? It's real simple. People aren't looking for him. You know, we as Christians, we should have a regular habit of spending time with God. You can find God. It's real simple. Get up before you talk to somebody else. Talk to him first. I can tell you one thing. I can tell you how you're not going to find him. You're not going to find him in worldly amusements. You're not going to find him in your television. You're not going to talk to him in you're not going to find him in your social media. I'm going to tell you where you're going to find him. You're going to find him in that book you hold in your hand called the Bible. So that means every day of your life, you need to spend time in prayer and Bible reading and seek him, because guess what? He wants to be found. And you're in the same book, chapter number, Proverbs number 8. Flip over to chapter number 1. Look what the Bible says in the first chapter here. Why people can't find him is because they're simply, number 1, they're not seeking him early. Every young person, every wife, every husband, every Christian ought to seek God early. The Bible promises us and Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. We need to seek the Lord. Look at the next thing with me, Proverbs number 1, look at verse number 20 with me. Here's what he says next. In verse number 20 it says, wisdom crieth without, sheddeth her voice in the streets. She crieth, now wisdom is personified in chapter number 1 as a person again. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city sheddeth her word, saying. The idea of the chief place of concourse means wisdom comes across every person's path. If you go into your house at home and you have one door and it's the front door, and that's the chief place of concourse, that means everybody in your house is going to go through that one door to get inside. The Bible says that wisdom is going to come across every person's path. That's the chief place of concourse. All of us have an opportunity to come in contact with wisdom, which is obviously the Lord Jesus. Look at verse number 20. 21 with me. He says, she cried and she was placed of concourse. Verse number 22 says this, who she's talking to, how long ye simple ones, first group are those who are simple. Well, ye love simplicity, and the scorners, that's the second group, delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Simple scorners delight. The simple person is the easily alert, easily deceived. That's the young person. The simple believeth every word, but a prudent man looketh well to his goings. Proverbs 14:15. They're still learning. That's the simple person. A scornful person is the extreme critic. He's the person, I don't want to know. You're not going to tell me anything. And the fool, he's the one that's just lackadaisical. It's not really that important. You come to a church service. You don't bring your Bible. You know, you're here, but you're not here. That's foolish. All right? Now look what he says next, though. In verse number 23 is what wisdom says. The first five words of verse number 23, turn you at my reproof. That's all she says. You won't find anything else. Wisdom says, turn you at my reproof. Then she tells you, if you do that, what's going to happen? Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Then you're going to find out there's some people that just won't take that reproof. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set it not all my counsel and none of my reproof. Then he's going to tell you what's going to happen if you don't take wisdom's reproof. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity, number one. I will mock when your fear, number two, when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, number three, and your destruction, number four, cometh as a whirlwind, when distress, number five, and anguish, number six, cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I, now look at this now, verse 28, but then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. And before I read the next verse, I want you to think about what we're talking about tonight. Job's the picture of this. Job is writing in Job 23 and says, listen, I look to the right, look to the left, I look behind me, looking forward. I can't find God. Where is he? Just remember, have you ever come to a church service before and you felt like you went to church and felt like God never spoke to your heart? Have you ever opened up the Word of God as you're reading through your devotion? You might go a day or two or a week and just feel like you're just reading words on a page instead of the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. Have you ever prayed about something specifically that you really needed an answer and felt like God never gave you a yes or a no? Hey, can I tell you, there are times in our life that those things happen, and I want to tell you when that happens, you need to be thinking about it. Number one, are you seeking him early? Because if you're going to find him, you're going to have to seek him early. Number two, do you accept reproof? This word reproof is mentioned over and over in chapter number 1, wisdom's main message in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. In verse number 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out mine hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel with none of my reproof. Verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Church family, reproof is that, of course you've heard me say often that reproof is to bring to light, and reproof is that instruction that is given by a person to cause you to see what's right or wrong. You know, God does that in our life. Sometimes he does it with our parents. Sometimes he does it with a teacher. Sometimes he does it with a pastor. But sometimes he does it with sometimes he uses lost people. But a reproof, he brings something to light in our life. Now listen to me tonight. Sometimes you're trying to get God to answer and say, okay, God, give me some direction about this and show me what I'm supposed to do. But the problem is God's not going to show you, and he's not going to answer, and he's going to hide himself if you don't listen to the reproofs God brings into your life. In other words, you're going to do your own thing. No one's going to tell me what to do. They don't know what's right for my life. Okay, now, can I tell you what's going to happen? God's going to say, okay, that's fine, but then don't come ask me to show you anything then, because you're not listening to me anyway. You know, God knows what's best for our life. And God, you know, sometimes we look at reproof as chastening. Listen to me tonight. We look at reproof sometimes as God's chastening us, but we don't really look at what it really is. It's God loving us. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 18. He says, but as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. In other words, part of God's love is he rebukes us, that reproof. He shows us where we need to be done in our life. Hey, church, I want to tell you something. There's been many a time in my life that I stopped reproving people because they just kept rejecting. And I find this, I just say, I'm talking about as a human being. Okay, I'm done. If you're not going to listen, I don't need to tell you anything. Well, I want to tell you something. There's something of a divine nature called God, and he tells us the same thing. He says, okay, if you're not going to listen to my reproof, then you're going to be looking for me, and you're going to look for me early, and you're still not going to find me. Because I've told you again and again and again, and you're not listening. Eli would not listen to God's reproof when he said, your boys are being sinful, and you know about it, and you're not doing anything about it. And God reproved him. Eli ended up dying. And he died because he would not listen to reproof. Israel wanted a king. After God said, you don't need a king, you got me. But they wouldn't listen to reproof. Zedekiah was the last king of Judah. And I remember when he came to Jeremiah and he said, Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah kind of looks at him and says, hey, listen, you're not listening anyway. Just, I mean, there's times in our life that if we're not careful, that we miss out on what God wants to show us because we're not willing to let God show us through people. God uses people to reprove us in our life of things that we need to change. And God says, after you've refused it and refused it and refused it, God says, okay. And he walks away from you. And then all of a sudden, you need God to show you something. And God says, hey, listen, I can't show you anything because you won't listen to me anyway. Now, this was not the case with Job. Job was in a place, right, left, forward, backward. Where are you, God? Can I tell you that when you walk through the scriptures, what causes a person to be without the presence of God, the direction of God? What causes those things? Well, number one, it's caused because we don't seek him early. What causes those things? Well, number two, because we don't accept the reproof that God brings into our life. I find that the biggest reason we don't like to accept reproof is pride. Our pride gets in the way. We don't want to humble ourselves as if, number one, we don't know, or we don't want to humble ourselves as if to put ourselves under. It's pride. But you know what you do? You miss out on God being there for you because of not accepting reproof. Something else tonight I want you to look at. Look at Isaiah 59. I know there's more than the ones we're going to look at tonight, but I want you to look at these here with me tonight. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Turn over there with me. Isaiah 59. While you're turning there, I'll read verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. In other words, God's more than capable of hearing what you pray. But look what he says in verse number 2, Isaiah 59, verse number 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins, verse 2, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now think about it. Your sins have hid his face. Just remember the story of Samson. Remember how Samson got there and Delilah, and Delilah cut his hair off? Remember when Samson went out to fight the Philistines? Remember that verse that seemingly rings in our ears in that one chapter? He wist not what? Wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You know, Samson got to a place in her life because he was practicing sin in his life that he didn't even know he didn't have God. You know, I hesitate about talking about this verse here with you, and the only reason I am is because of verse number 2 saying so clearly that God's ear is not short, but yet what shortens his ear and God is when we have sin in our life, our iniquities. But you know, when a person is practicing sin, they're not necessarily looking for God. But you know, even if they did, they're not going to find him. You know why? Because God's holy. And God's not going to be there for you if you're living a life of practice of sinning, of exercising sins in your life. Now, church family, all of us, think of me now, for all have sinned, all right? Does that include everybody in this room? All right, includes everybody in this room. For all of us, for all have sinned. And that's not just past tense, that's present tense. How many would agree that we're all sinners? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? How many still have flesh that you have to deal with? Amen. How many of you have temptations that you try to do your best to stay away from them? Because if you get near them, you're going to end up doing them. All right? You know why? Because it's our sinful flesh. There's no perfect people. We look forward to the day that we have our heavenly body. But until then, we know where we're weak. I think it's this chapter, verse number 12. Look at Isaiah 59, verse number 12. The last phrase, and I'll just read the whole verse. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. Let's read the last phrase together, verse 12, ready? And as for our iniquities, tonight if we were honest with each other, and we're not going to be, amen, but if we were honest with each other and we said, okay, I want you to stand up and tell us, what area of your life are you weakest in? I could list 2 or 3 things for me. These are areas of my life that I'm weak in. I have an appetite for that I shouldn't have an appetite for. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Tonight, you would have the same. Doesn't matter how, if you're a teenager tonight or if you're an adult tonight, you know. You know what? You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because verse 12 just said, I know that. As for our iniquities, we what? We know what they are. And we thank God nobody else knows what they are. But we know what they are. And I'm just trying to tell you tonight that you're going to get into a place where you really need God, and God's not going to be there. And I'm going to tell you why he's not going to be there. Because of iniquity that we're practicing. And I'm not talking about sinning a sin. I'm so thankful for the mornings that we have, where his mercies are new every morning, and we can go before God. And he says, when he talks about in the model prayer, to forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debters. And we can start every day of our life with a clean slate because of Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed that gives us access to a heavenly Father that forgives us. But that's not what I'm talking about. Tomorrow morning, I will do the same thing that you will do. I'm going to get up early, and I'm going to talk to the Lord, and I'm going to say, hey, Lord, please, and I'm going to go through the model prayer, and I'm going to say, God, forgive me for these sins of my life. And I start the day, and I start the day clean, but that's not what this is talking about. What this is talking about is something that I'm practicing on a regular basis. Are you here tonight, and you're having a problem, and you're a fellow this morning, maybe a fellow, girls, I don't know, but you're a fellow, and you have a problem with pornography, and your parents don't know about it, or your wife doesn't know about it, but you know about it. You're grieved by it. You know why you're grieved by it? It's because you have a spirit of God that dwells inside of you. Amen. You better thank God for that grieving. Yeah. Amen. By the way, it's a guilty feeling, but it's a grieving feeling. It's not just a matter of if somebody catches me doing this. It's a matter of I don't want to do this. It's a grieving, as the Jabez prayer talks about. Bless us indeed, enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And listen, tonight, I don't know what sin you're struggling with, but there's things you can do to get over those things. Don't provide for it. Romans 13, 14. Ask God for his help to overcome it. 1 John 1, 9, confess it. Psalm 51, acknowledge it. It's a problem. Something I've got to deal with in my life. For you, it might be anger. Some of you, it might be the lust of the flesh, maybe eating. It could be something sinful that you're ashamed about in that sense. But sin is sin. We need to make sure we get the victory over those things if we're going to be able to get a hold of God when we need him, which we need him all the time. Why we cannot find God? We cannot find God, number 1, because we don't seek him early. Number 2, we cannot find God because we don't accept reproof. Number 3, we cannot find God because I'm in sin or I have a practicing sin in my life. Now, I want you to go back to Job 23, and we'll finish this up with one more tonight, and we'll be done. But turn to Job 23, where we started tonight in verses 1 through 9. Job says, I looked to the right, I looked to the left, I looked behind me, I looked forward, I couldn't find God. He said in verse number 2, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I want you to notice what he says now in verse number 10. In verses 1 through 9, I can't find him. At verse number 10, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Footprints was a poem that was written. For years it was unknown. I think of recent, they put a name with it. One night I dreamed a dream as I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many a times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you, will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Church family, can I tell you that what Job was saying, I look to my right, left, forward, back. I don't know where you're at, God. But I know you know where I am. But I know he knoweth the way that I take and when I'm tried. In other words, can I tell you tonight, when you can't find him, it might be because you're being tested. It's not a matter he's not there. The eyes of the Lord in every place. It might be that God's sending you through a test in your life. Joseph had to go through a test. Jeremiah had to go through a test. Abraham had to go through a test. And I want to tell you something. The bottom line is whether or not you're going to pass it or not. How many parents are enjoying your active homeschool? Isn't it a blessing? Okay, that just ruined the spirit of the service. My kids are taking tests at the house. My wife is the teacher. But I noticed one thing, that when you take a test, the teacher's not there to tell you the answers. Doesn't matter if you're in school or if you're being schooled at home right now. The teacher gives you the test so you can put on the test what you know. The teacher doesn't stand there and say, okay, question number 1, here's the answer. Question number 2, here's, by the way, you're not supposed to be doing that, parents. Don't do that, okay? That's not how we take tests. Can I tell you that in your spiritual life, it's the same way. When you take a test, the teacher's not there to tell you the answer. Sometimes you're taking a test and you're looking to the right, looking to the left, you're looking forward, looking back, and saying, God, where are you? God says, I'm trying to prove you right now. I'm trying to find out what's really in your heart. You've heard me say before, and I believe it. I believe that this virus, for Christianity's sake, and I know the Lord's got a bigger picture in the whole thing, but I do believe that part of whatever's going on right now is a test. And there's lots to test right now. Lots of tests. You know, I don't care about the money, but I think every once in a while I need to just remind you that stimulus check is income. I don't know if you give, and I could care less if you give, in the sense that I don't care about your money, but I care about you. Amen. You know what? There's still some people that think, oh, that's a gift from God. I can just spend it. You make sure you tithe on your stimulus check. All right, I'm just telling you, preacher, don't mess around with God. That's crazy. Thank the Lord for it. Our country's going into deeper and deeper in debt. Thank the Lord for it. It's a test. This thing about church was a test for me. I don't know if it was for you, but it was for me. Either we believe in church or we don't believe in church. That's just all it is, the test. This thing about everything closing down and nowhere to go, it's just a test. You know, some of you kids in here, you have the ability to be mature, but now you don't have a reason to get up for school, and your parents don't make you, and you're getting up at 10, 11 o'clock. All this is a test to show your maturity. That's all it is. This whole thing's a test. Where's God? God's always where he's always been. He's sitting on his throne. God's where he's always been. He's watching over the affairs of man. And what are you doing with the tests that are happening right now in your life? He's there. He's just testing you. You know, again, this message is not just for this time. It's for life. But you're going to go through a time in your life where you think you can't find God. We know in our heart that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. We know that God's in heaven watching over us. So how come I can't get answers? How come I can't get him to show me what I'm supposed to do? I want to tell you what it might be. Number one, because you're not seeking him early. Number two, because you're not accepting the reproof that God's already given in you in your life on what you should be doing that you're not. Number three, you might not be able to find him or get the answers you need because there's sin in your life. And number four, it might be that God's just trying to put you through a test. Hey, church family, I like it when my kids come home and say, "We had a test today." That's their prompt for me to ask the next question. "What'd you get on it?" "I got 100%. Hey, Christian, I want to tell you something. You got a God in heaven. You can do the 100%. Stay in the book. Stay right. Put him first. Trust him. Be the light that God wants you to be. And pray for God to come back. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I ask you to please help the church family. Help